The next day, Celis woke up, went outside, and visited her friends. She had to. She had to be social and normal, or she'd go crazy. To her relief, she managed to find her usual gossip group and circle. Or rather, they found her. They walked through the rain from shelter to shelter as the guardsmen followed, laughing and talking. Today, Celis was the topic of conversation. Drassi was off work, so she was there, as were 8 of Celis's female friends and 11 male ones. Even the ones Celis didn't talk to that often. Even the ones she'd been fighting with. And an ex-boyfriend. They all wanted to make up and talk with her. No guesses why. After 15 minutes, Celis was sick of it. The other drakes were wagging their tails, agog over the gossip about Celis being approached by a wall lord and other cities to sell the armor. They wanted to know everything about it, what the reaction had been when the will had been read out loud. No one asked Celis about who had been wearing the armor.
"Can we see it?"
One of the male drakes suggested that quickly. The others leapt on his suggestion. That would be so rude. Celis was busy, and Watch Captain Zavara had it under lock and key, guarded. No one could see it. But if they could...
"I think Zavara wants to keep everyone away. There are thieves who want it, and there was an attempted break-in already."
Everyone sighed in disappointment. Drassi nodded, though.
"There was another thief, Celis. They caught her this morning, alive."
"Really?"
Celis stared at her friend, but Drassi would know. She had both ear holes to the ground, and she caught rumors like a lizard caught flies. That analogy had caused a fight the last time Celis had jokingly said it out loud.
"Well, I'm sure Zavara can handle it. And Hilbris, and Embria. I am so done with talking about it."
Instantly, everyone took the cue. One of Celis's friends looked around in the rain.
"I know, right? It's so tiring talking about politics. Why don't we go to a bar and relax instead? It's only just past morning." "Well, what if we..."
The others started arguing over the favorite place Celis might like, picking all of her favorites. Celis listened gloomily. It was a bit sickening and depressing. Celis knew her friends, and she wasn't surprised by how they were behaving. She'd probably act the same way. At least Drassi was open about it.
"All I want to do is tell people I know you, Celis. Everyone's asking me to introduce them to you. And they want to see the armor. I bet you could get a date with any guy in the city, even the married ones, if you promised to let them touch it." "By the way, did you hear about the goblins, Sinner and Sin? They got their own artifacts."
"No one wants to hear about goblins, Drassi."
One of Celis's female friends, Wuvisa, glared at Drassi. The barmaid rolled her eyes.
"They're not bad, Wuvisa. They don't cause trouble or try to slap your tail or butt like the drakes in the bars I used to work at. They're really scary, true, but listen..."
"Miss Celis Shivertail,"
a voice interrupted Drassi. All the young drakes turned. Watch Captain Zavara strode up to them. She was in full uniform, and Celis saw more than one of her male friends eye her tail admiringly. What was the saying? There was nothing like a drake in uniform? Or something. Celis just sighed. She had no time for tales, and neither did Zavara. The watch captain nodded to Celis.
"I'm afraid I have to borrow you, Miss Shivertail. There are a number of dignitaries and officials waiting to speak with you, in connection to your inheritance."
The other drakes oohed and tried to pester Zavara with questions. Celis didn't. She looked at Zavara's unhappy face and sighed.
"Okay."
Zavara led Celis through the city and into Liscor's city hall. There was a small meeting room set up with snacks and drinks. The watch captain offered Celis a seat and after a moment showed a drake in. Celis rose as a drake from Pallas, a senator from the Assembly of Crafts, walked in and gave Celis a bright smile. She was the first of a series of drakes who had requested to meet Celis, all about the armor she owned. Celis sat, nibbling on her snacks and sipping from a cup, bewildered, listening. Each drake wanted something from her, and each one phrased it differently. A senator from Palace, a mage representing Wistrum, a drake speaking for Xeres, one from Oteslia, a trio of drakes from lesser cities, Wing Commander Embria. That last conversation stood out to Celis. At least Embria was short and to the point. She didn't beat about the bush or offer Celis condolences for her loss or compliments. She walked in, gave Celis a firm handshake, and got straight to it. We want the armor.
So does everyone else.
Celis's arms were folded. Embria nodded. I am well aware of the politics, Miss Celis. May I call you Celis?
Nope.
Very well. I am sure you've had any number of offers for the armor. Trades, bargains, and threats, no doubt. Celis was silent. More than one drake had hinted, not quite overtly, that there could be trouble if the armor didn't come their way. That was a scary threat, especially when it came from an entire walled city. But a receptionist could at least do a good blank face, so Embria got nothing more than the others. Embria went on without missing a beat. I want you to know that your safety is my priority, and the priority of Lyskor's High Command, regardless of what your decision is. Obviously, the army would appreciate the use of such a powerful artifact. We could reimburse you some of the cost, although I'm afraid purchasing the armor outright would strain even a walled city's military budget.
So, what's my incentive? You'll protect me if all the bad drakes get angry?
Embria's face didn't move, but her tail gave the tiniest of twitches, telling Celis she was getting to the drake. We hope you could think of your civic pride. If not to us, then perhaps you might consider relinquishing it to the city's custody. It could still be your possession, but be put to use defending the city itself, as the situation demands.
Only it'd be yours. I get the point. Thanks, Wing Commander, is it? You can skip the part where I'll end up dead in my bed if I don't give the armor to you. I'll just assume you said it, okay?
Celis saw Embria's eyes flash. The drake stood up.
Oh, now listen here, you ungrateful! Wing Commander Embria!
The red-scaled drake snapped to attention. Zavara opened the door, giving her a frown. The Wing Commander's red cheeks turned darker. Celis waved at Zavara, who gave her a resigned look. She'd had to stop drakes from trying to throttle or attack Celis 3 times today. Celis was in a bad mood, and she was inclined to share it.
I think that's enough for now, Wing Commander. Don't you?
Yes. My apologies, Miss Celis. I shouldn't have lost my temper. Consider my offer carefully. Lyskor's army is here to serve the city.
Oh, we didn't see you when all the moths were trying to eat us!
Celis shouted at Embria's back. She heard the door slam and sat back with some satisfaction. Zavara eyed her as she took a seat and a handful of dried fruit.
I thought receptionists were supposed to be welcoming.
Not in the Adventurer's Guild, and it's my day off. How many more do I have?
Celis sighed. She was tired. Zavara shook her head.
None for now. Ilvris declined to take up your time. He just wants you to remember.
He'll buy the armor, yeah. And if I sell to him, Palace might send an arrow into my skull.
Zavara grimaced as she chewed.
That's a threat. I'd like to say it's an idle one. If they do that, it'll be a war.
Doesn't help me if I'm dead. All these drakes. You know, Oteslia offered me 30,000 gold pieces and food for life. Just that, food. They'll feed me. What am I, a gourmet?
It's hard to compete with sheer wealth. Salazar is rich, Oteslia less so. Other groups will offer you different incentives.
One of the drakes offered me slaves. Is that legal here?
It's rare, but not unheard of. There are strict rules about them, though.
Whatever. I don't want slaves. I don't want Wistrom's lesser artifacts or the gratitude of Luskor's army. What do I do?
Celis looked pleadingly at Zavara. She wasn't that much older than Celis. Maybe 7 or 8 years at most, but the watch captain felt older. Zavara hesitated.
I have no idea, Miss Celis. It's a tricky situation with a time limit, as you know.
How long do I have?
I'm not sure. While Lord Elvris is protecting the armor, and I believe his escort can ward off any potential thieves, I have Relk and Kilbukic on guard duty as well, but while Lord Elvris is a member of Salazar when all is said and done, there is some question about him influencing you.
Oh, politics. He helped us defend Luskor.
My thoughts exactly. And he hasn't given me any reason to doubt his word. It's just that giving him aid, and by proxy Salazar, would put Luskor in a tricky spot. Especially with this doorway to palace. I can't make a decision for you, but you should know what might occur.
Zavara offered Celis a sympathetic look. She glanced at Celis's empty cup and reached for the teapot.
You could just sell it. The amount of gold you'd get from an heirloom like that would set you up for life.
But if I sell it to Elvris?
Sell it to Wistrom, or the army. Those are the safest bets. They might not be able to outbid a larger city, but you'll get the least amount of trouble for it. I think we drakes would be happier if none of us had it, rather than one of us.
Oh, great.
Celis buried her head in her hands. Zavara looked at her and cleared her throat a few times.
Look at it this way, Miss Celis. Make a decision and you'll be rich for life.
However long I have left.
There was nothing Zavara could say to that. It was too hard. Celis lay on her grandmother's desk, groaning. Her grandmother looked at her and then pushed her off.
Ow! I have work to do, Celis. This is your day off. Enjoy it. How? I can't go anywhere without an escort, and I have a magical artifact under lock and key. What am I supposed to do?
Stop lying on the floor. It's dirty.
Celis got up. She felt wretched.
What do you think I should do, Grandma?
Ugh, sell it, or give it away. I don't particularly care.
Tekshaya sighed as Celis groaned and flopped back onto her desk. She rapped Celis on the head with a knuckle.
You're making too much of a fuss about this, Celis. The armor is armor. You'll make enemies no matter what you do. So take the best deal and live with your choices. I had someone after my head when I was 11. You'll manage.
But, Grandma...
You need to decide for yourself. No moping. Get out there and make a choice, young one. And don't let me catch you bothering the adventurers downstairs.
I know one I can bother.
Then go find them. But stay out of my guild until work tomorrow. I expect you on time, escort and armor or not.
There was no good way out, no right decision. Celis was trapped, and she hated everything. Right now, she hated Pisces, despite him being very helpful of late.
Try these command phrases next. Lacurim law, what is, will be, and shall ever be the will of flame. Drake's rule.
Pisces paced back and forth, and Celis kept her hands on the heart flame breastplate. She looked up at him.
Seriously? Drake's rule?
Any phrase could work, Celis. Any one at all. It's the most nonsensical that would be chosen, so no one would guess.
There's no point. I give up.
Celis leaned her cheek against the metal, not caring about smudging the legendary artifact anymore. Pisces turned to her.
Don't say that. Isn't this exciting? The challenge. Imagine it. You could unlock the secrets of a powerful artifact today.
His eyes gleamed. Celis just made a sound.
It doesn't matter. Someone else is going to get the armor. Let them have it.
Oh, so you're inclined to sell?
I'm inclined not to die, which means I have to sell at some point. Only there's no one I can sell it to that won't make someone else mad. I'll have to sell it and hire a bodyguard for the rest of my life. How is that good?
Pisces shrugged.
You don't have to sell it.
What? And keep it? Safara won't guard it forever. Relk's already complaining about his job. Thieves will take it, or someone will kidnap me for it. What other options are there?
You could lend it.
That's the same problem.
Not necessarily.
It doesn't matter. I've got no choice.
Celis turned her head away. She knew Pisces was trying to help, but she was just done with it all. Aaron could handle something like this, but normal Celis had nothing. She'd just sell it to Embria, or give it to Wistrom. That was safe. Then she'd ask Zavara for protection. What a mess. Celis leaned against the armor as she sensed Pisces coming over. He sat next to her quietly.
Do you recall what I told you yesterday?
It's not helping, Pisces.
Perhaps not, but you never gave me an answer. I asked you if you wanted this.
I don't. Problem solved, okay?
Pisces didn't move.
That's not a truthful answer. Truly, honestly, without the issue of pressure, do you want this armor?
It doesn't matter.
I believe it does. You should make a choice that is honest to yourself.
Honest? Myself? Honestly, I don't want this. I'm not special, Pisces. I'm not an adventurer like you.
Celis raised her head. She wasn't crying, but she was angry. She glared at the necromancer.
I'm not meant for this. I'm just a receptionist. This shouldn't happen to me.
And yet it did. You may be Celis Shivertail, a receptionist, but your uncle was Zell Shivertail.
Don't mention him. He's not like me. He lived in a different world.
Pisces raised his voice.
So? You were part of that world. You can't deny it. You may have only been his niece, but he cared about you enough to give you his armor.
It was a mistake.
It was his will. And you were part of his life. Enough so that he gave you this, even by mistake. You were part of a legend's life, Celis. You can't deny it.
Shut up!
Celis thrust Pisces away. He retreated, a bit hurt, but he didn't give up. He called at Celis as she wrapped her tail around her body.
If you want to be ordinary, you can claim ignorance. But you know that you're at least related to—
I said shut up!
Celis screamed at Pisces. She was so frustrated and angry that she actually hissed at him. The sound was loud in the small room. An angry viper's hiss. Celis felt hot with embarrassment. No, not hot. Warm. She saw Pisces staring at her, pale-faced, and felt awful.
I'm sorry.
Celis?
Look, I didn't mean to. You should probably go.
Celis!
Pisces was pointing, his fingers shaking. Celis looked at him. Then she turned. Behind her, the heart flame armor blazed.
It was on fire, flickering, ghostly, pale red and orange flames licked across the armor, burning without smoke. There was heat without sound, motion without fuel. Celis stared at the armor as it blazed.
Huh?
You did it!
Someone hugged her from behind. Celis yelped and looked into Pisces' ecstatic face. The necromancer danced about the armor, happier than Celis had ever seen him.
That was it! That was it! Of all the sounds! What genius! What simple...
What was it?
Celis was confused until she recalled what she'd done. Her eyes widened.
Hissing? But that's...
So simple, isn't it? You wouldn't expect it to be a phrase, and if you heard it in the heat of battle... And it's something only a drake would do! Do it again! Turn it off!
I'll burn myself!
Try touching it from the inside!
Cautiously, Celis did. She could feel the heat of the flames, but the inside of the breastplate was simply warm. Celis hissed, feeling embarrassed, but to her astonishment, it worked. The flames immediately vanished. Pisces whistled slowly.
Oh, incredible. Hissing. A simple command. Not lengthy, easy to activate, and so simple that it would be overlooked by anyone attempting to guess the password. I suspect you can sub-vocalize the noise and activate the enchantment.
The sub what?
Make the sound so small, so inaudible, that no one can hear it but you.
She tried it. The flames flickered into life across the armor, though the hissing sound barely passed her lips. Celis jumped. Pisces smiled widely.
Wondrous!
Celis just stared at the armor. The flames licking across the metal were hypnotic. They weren't just fiery red anymore. They had shifted to become slightly purple with a white core, as if the flames were reacting to something. It was magical fire and a magical effect. Celis felt someone standing next to her. Pisces.
And so, I ask you one last time, Celis.
She stared at him. Pisces pointed to the burning armor.
Look at it, Celis. This armor was given to you. It was your uncle's will that you have it. I have but one question for you. Do you want it?
Celis stared at him. She looked at the armor. She closed her eyes. She didn't need to think of the answer. She'd known it all along.
Yes.
Are you sure?
Celis nodded.
It's mine. It's what my uncle gave to me. It's mine.
She reached out and turned the enchantment off. Celis touched the warm metal slowly.
Mine. Hers. Of course she wanted it. What drake wouldn't?
And there was a part of her that remembered. She'd wanted to be an adventurer. Wanted to be a hero. Maybe her uncle hadn't thought of it. Maybe he hadn't updated his will. But he had known the Goblin Lord was coming. Maybe he hadn't cared. Or maybe he'd remembered and decided to do nothing anyways.
What's it like, Uncle?
Excuse me?
Pisces was staring. Celis turned her head. There was an epiphany in her mind, a rushing roar of understanding. She felt like her heart was about to beat out of her chest. Everything was slow and fast at the same time, dreamlike.
What a strange world we live in.
Go on.
That was Pisces for you. He stared curiously at Celis, waiting for her to elaborate. She stared at the armor.
Is this real? Or am I dreaming? It doesn't feel real. It's like a fantasy. Something I'd imagine. How could this happen to someone like me?
There was no answer. There never was. Celis was ordinary Celis, a drake without aspirations.
without ambition. Only that wasn't true. She'd had all those things once. She'd just given up on them. The armor was heavy, probably 6 pounds, which was heavy for the average breastplate, but it was balanced well. Celis lifted it off the stand. If you wore it, it would be easy to move around in, far lighter than if you had a backplate, too. It felt like it should be heavier. Celis lifted the armor up. A legend's armor. It had been worn by General Ironscales, by heroes of the Drakes. It had been worn by the Tidebreaker, and it had seen more battle and glory than Celis could ever imagine. It was an artifact worthy of myth. And it still looked a bit tacky. Celis inspected the Heartflame breastplate. Then she put it on. Pisces gasped. Celis fastened the straps around her body, feeling the metal shift to fit her form. It was a perfect match, despite having been on Zell's chest before now. It fit like a glove, and it was comforting. Celis turned, and Pisces backed up. His eyes were wide. He looked awed, in wonder, and happy with it. Another emotion she'd never seen in him. Celis smiled.
I'm going. Are you coming with?
Oh, where?
She laughed and pointed. Liscor was busy in the rain. People walked to and fro under awnings, grumbling about the rain, but accustomed to the season's weather. There was a lot to do. Business was business, and there was actually more business in the spring. A lot of drakes were on boats outside the city, hauling in prodigious catches of fish and watching out for aquatic monsters. Others were fishing from the walls, casting their lines into the water and returning with buckets of fish of varying sizes, shapes, and taste. So, there were plenty of people on the streets. Plenty of people who were going about their ordinary days doing what they thought of as mundane things. They looked up when they heard the shouting. They saw an ordinary drake striding down the wet street. An ordinary drake, a young woman, a receptionist, wearing the Heartflame armor. Celis heard the shouting. She'd been hearing it since she'd left the room with Pisces following. She had a crowd in her wake. Angry drakes, guardsmen, officials, shouting at her, telling her all kinds of things.
Stop!
You can't do that!
Put it back! Who do you think you are?
Noise. Celis walked through it all. She stopped in the street as drakes and gnolls paused, looking at her. The Heartflame breastplate was warm on her chest. It shone. It would make a good nightlight. But that wasn't all it could do. Celis took a breath, her heart pounding. Then, ever so softly, so quietly even the gnolls couldn't hear it, she hissed. And there was fire. It sprang around Celis, covering her hands, her tail, her face, but she could see straight through the flames. It was only when she looked at her body that she saw the blue flame. She heard the angry shouting go silent. And then there were voices raised in awe. They didn't matter either. It was just Celis standing in the street. She stood and felt the armor burning. Heat. Celis closed her eyes. She felt warm, only it wasn't heat. The burning flames around her didn't touch her scales. She didn't feel the temperature, but her heart. Her heart beat fiercely in her chest. Her blood rushed. Celis opened her eyes and felt alive. She looked around and finally took in the crowd. People were staring at her. Hundreds. Some were running, others shouting. A drake had fallen to his knees. A gnoll was staring, mesmerized into the flames. Another gnoll was shaking her head, pinching herself. So many eyes, so many faces, all turned towards her. It was surreal. Celis had been at the center of attention in the Adventurer's Guild. She had made announcements, shouted for attention. Never this. This was something else. This was a moment she couldn't forget. A brief window in time where a part of the world had stopped to stare. At her. Celis looked around and then started walking. She had to. She had to move. The crowd parted before her and trailed in her wake. Celis walked through the rain as it burned and turned to steam on her armor. She walked with her knees shaking, her head light. Every head turned towards her. Celis felt the world passing slowly. For a second, a minute, she was the center of the world. It was terrifying. Amazing. She wasn't supposed to be here. They were staring. Celis shook like a leaf, but she was warm, and that gave her the courage to go on, down the street, through the crowds as every person in Liscor came to a stop. Whatever they were doing, whatever they had planned, Celis occupied their attention. Zavara came running down the street and stopped. Embria paused as she and Ilvris ran forwards. They became part of the audience. Left at the intersection, walking the same path from her apartment she'd always done. Celis looked around, trying to remember this feeling, trying to capture every moment for the rest of her life. There was a two-story building ahead of her. The doors were worn with age. Celis put her hand on the handle and opened it. Adventurers rose to their feet. The receptionist on duty fell out of her chair. Celis walked into the Adventurers Guild. Her home. She heard the crowd press at the doors. She saw an elderly drake walk down the stairs and waved at her. Tekshaya stared at her granddaughter, blazing, on fire. Celis walked past the line of wet adventurers, seeing them flinch back from her. She saw the half-seekers turn. Gold rank adventurers, staring at her, just the same as the children. The receptionist at the desk backed away. Celis rested a claw on the wood and saw it begin to burn. She lifted her claw and turned. A room full of faces stared at her. 10 minutes. That's how long it had taken for her to come here at a slow walk. 10 minutes. That was enough. For 10 minutes, she had been a hero. Celis looked at her grandmother and saw Tekshaya looking at her with an expression Celis had never seen on her face. Wonder? Awe? Respect? There were no words. Celis stepped behind her counter. She ran a claw over it and saw smoke rising. Then she leaned on the desk. She hissed, and the flames died out. In the silence, the smoke drifting from the desk swirled upwards and vanished. The drakes, gnolls, humans, and other adventurers stared at Celis. She stood at her desk, wearing the heart flame breastplate. She smiled as wide as she ever had. At the head of the crowd was a young man in white robes. Pisces stared at Celis. She beckoned him forwards, as if he were in line. He took a few hesitant steps. Celis leaned towards him.
So, what comes next, huh?
Pisces blinked. He stared at her, and then around the room. She didn't have to say it. She knew he was thinking the same thing. Sometimes, just sometimes, it was good to be the center of attention. At last, Pisces smiled. He looked at Celis, that challenging, excited gleam in his eyes.
I don't know, but I'm eager to find out.
Celis stood in a room with an odd group. Watch Captain Zavara, Wallord Ilvris, Pisces. None of them were people she'd normally talk to. Well, maybe Pisces, but that was so new as well. And yet she didn't feel afraid of talking to them anymore. Instead, Celis was all business. When you wore the Heartflame breastplate, people listened to you. Sometimes it was because you were on fire, but it was also because you dared to put it on. Even Ilvris hadn't dared to try. It was Celis's armor. Hers. And she was talking about giving it away. Pisces stood with a sheaf of paper in hand, reading through his notes, talking animatedly. He'd been using message spells all day. He'd taught himself the spell, apparently.
And in light of the new enchantment's trigger being discovered, all of the cities are bidding desperately. They regard the armor's powers, correctly, as something that could turn the tide of battle if used to full effect. A general wouldn't need to fear danger, and take to the front lines with far more certainty with such a powerful protective enchantment.
If my uncle had known how it worked, I wonder if it would have helped him.
There's no telling what the armor...
Ilvris stared at the breastplate. Celis had put it back on the armor stand. People also tended to stare at your chest if you wore it while talking to them, and it got heavy. Pisces nodded.
I have noted your increased bid for the armor, Warlord Ilvris. Backed by your walled city, you are, of course, fielding one of the highest bids for the armor, from a purely monetary perspective.
One of the highest. Who else is bidding?
Ilvris swung around to stare at Pisces. The necromancer smiled.
Confidential, I'm afraid. Some of the potential buyers wish to preserve their anonymity. I'm sure you understand.
Ilvris narrowed his eyes, but he couldn't exactly sneer at or ignore Pisces. The young man cleared his throat.
However, yours is certainly an alluring bid, and Pallas is aware of it. They are concerned about Warlord Ilvris's ties to Lescor and have come up with a counteroffer, Celis.
He turned to Celis and smiled.
They're willing to offer you a modest sum if you will agree not to lend, lease, or otherwise give the armor to Warlord Ilvris.
What?
Zavara and Ilvris looked at Pisces. He looked smug. Celis stared at him.
Not to sell it to Ilvris? But then I'd be getting money.
For nothing, exactly.
Pisces looked around at the drakes. He sighed.
It's a simple concept. A magical artifact can make money simply by existing and remaining neutral, especially in ideal circumstances like these. Pallas and the other walled cities are keen to get their hands on such an artifact, but not at the cost of outbidding each other. They would rather pay a small fee to ensure none of their enemies turn up on the battlefield wearing that armor than obtain it for themselves.
That's robbery!
Zavara looked aghast at the idea of paying someone for nothing. Pisces laughed. He actually laughed.
No. Oh, just politics. Tyrandria has treaties like this in place. That's what I hit upon the idea.
And you're willing to hold on to the armor, even if it means risking losing it? We can't guard it forever, especially if you want to wear it.
Ilvris turned to Celis, looking exasperated. She shook her head.
I still want to earn money off it. More money, I guess. Come on in.
She raised her voice and the door opened. Ilvris looked past Celis and up as a giant head appeared. A half-giant head. Moor stepped carefully into the room, bending so as not to bang his head on the ceiling. Jellicoe strode in after him, and Seaborn appeared at their backs. Celis shook Jellicoe's hand.
You're serious about this?
The Selfid stared at the armor. Zavara and Ilvris, catching on, stared hard at Celis. The receptionist just nodded.
I am willing to lease the armor to your team, Miss Jellicoe. Lease, not sell.
For the dungeon? How would that work?
The Selfid scratched at the back of her head, her claws brushing the spines. Her tail twitched, and Celis wondered if she could hiss using her new body's throat. They'd figure something out if not.
It's very simple. I'll let you use the armor to take on the dungeon or any missions in the area. You'd have to give it back to me after a set amount of time, but you can use it until our contract expires.
The Half-Seekers stared at each other. Seaborn raised a hand.
And if we lose it, or it breaks, we're adventurers. Accidents happen.
If you can find something that can break the Heart Flame breastplate, I'd love to see it. From really far away.
Celis folded her arms. She nodded at a book that Pisces had found for her.
I've been doing some research with Pisces. Possession of artifacts is very clear. Under Drake law, it means that if you die with the armor on in the dungeon, it's mine. If it's stolen, it's still mine. Only in war does that rule not apply. If you lose it in the dungeon, I'll hire someone to get it back.
And it's not likely to break. All right. But what happens to you in the meantime? I've been hearing rumors that lots of people are targeting you. I'd hate to get my team involved in,
Jellicoe looked around at the other drakes and hesitated.
Politics.
Oh, that's a good point. Miss Celis, your life would be in danger if... especially if you lent the armor to adventurers.
Ilvris looked like he was struggling to find a flaw in Celis's plan. The drake receptionist just smiled. She looked at Pisces, who gave her a self-satisfied smirk.
Pisces had an idea about that, actually. It's the kind of underhanded thing I would expect from him.
I shall take that compliment in the spirit with which it was given.
Explain!
Savara demanded of Pisces. It was Celis who replied.
In the event of my death, the armor doesn't go to anyone in my family. No matter what I say, no matter what I might sign, it'll go straight back to Magnolia Reinhardt with instructions on how to use it. That will is good for 10 years, at which point I'll have to renew it or write another one.
Back to...
Ilvris spluttered in horror at the thought. Celis imagined that would be the reaction of most drakes. She nodded.
Back to her. I can't change it no matter what. That will is solid and sealed by a Wistrum mage.
Feline. Oh, as if I couldn't do the spellcasting myself, given a moment's time to study.
The watch captain of Liscor ignored Pisces. She studied Celis seriously.
And if she has you killed? Magnolia Reinhardt uses assassins!
Celis gritted her teeth.
Then she'll have to get through every drake who cares about the armor to get me. And I'd say one human lady being after me is better than 6 walled cities pulling me apart, don't you?
Ilvris had the decency to blush slightly. He looked around and sighed.
Ancestors, you're serious about this, aren't you?
Absolutely, Jellicoe. If you're willing, I'll lease the armor to you. I know I could find a team in Palace, or someone else in Liscor. The Silver Swords, maybe? But I wanted to ask you first.
Jellicoe looked dumbfounded. She looked at her teammates, and then at Celis rather helplessly.
Well, of course we'd love to borrow it, even for a day. But, Celis, we can't afford...
Oh, it's not about how much you can pay me now. I just want a cut of whatever you get.
Celis interrupted the Selfid. Jellicoe snapped her fingers.
You do? Of course! A cut of the treasure!
I don't need artifacts or anything else. All I want is a percentage of anything you find. You can have first rights to artifacts and compensate me the cost.
The Half-Seekers stared at Celis. She held her breath as they turned. More covered their heads as he bent his to confer. Jellicoe turned back within a minute.
Well, if it's a percentage of our findings, we could offer you 30%. But let's talk this over, okay? How's the drink sound, Erins?
Celis smiled. She turned to Pisces and he gave her a thumbs up. He looked satisfied as he edged over to Celis.
I get a cut of the profits, right?
She stared flatly at him. Pisces lost his smile.
Was that the wrong time to ask?
He yelped as Celis poked him in the side. The receptionist winked.
We'll talk.
It wasn't over with the Half-Seekers. Before they met to discuss the terms of their contract, which would be magically enforced and certified by Liscor's watch captain, Celis strode into Tekshaya Shivertail's office. The elderly Drake looked up as Celis thrust a parchment onto the table for her. Celis didn't wait for Tekshaya to speak.
The goblins are going to be a bronze rank team. They'll work their way up through the system, but this way, Liscor can take credit for them entering the dungeon, and we get a cut of whatever they find. Otherwise, we have 5 goblins running about who aren't under anyone's control but Aaron's.
Tekshaya picked up the form to create a bronze rank team. She studied it, then she pushed it back across the desk.
No.
Celis leaned over the desk. She should have worn her armor.
Why not?
Tekshaya's face didn't change.
I don't trust them.
I do.
So, you're not the guild mistress.
Celis stared at her grandmother. She glared and then took a deep breath.
I'm not, but I say it should be this way, Grandma. If you'll sign this, I will take responsibility for the goblins. If they cause trouble, I'll take the blame, not you. You can put that in writing.
She jabbed a claw at the parchment. For a second, she thought Tekshaya would scoff at her. But then, to her astonishment, Tekshaya laughed. The elderly Drake grabbed a quill as Celis stared at her in astonishment.
Do you know how long I've been waiting to hear you take some responsibility for your actions? Fine, if you'll put your tail on the line.
She signed the parchment with a flourish. Celis gaped at her.
What?
Oh, don't stare. I've waited for ages for you to suggest something and have the spine to back up what you're suggesting. You'll never get anywhere by trying to get someone else to take the risk, Celis. An adult takes chances and backs them up. A shame you had to make goblin adventurers your first big decision. Oh, well.
Tekshaya sighed as she pushed the parchment back towards Celis. The Drake stared and then snatched the parchment up. She peered at the signature. It was real. She glared at her grandmother.
Wait, was this all another test? You mean all my suggestions? Pisces cleaning the sewers? All that was to prepare me to follow in your footsteps?
The old Drake paused in nibbling at her quill tip.
Oh, hardly. I just don't like necromancers. What's this about you following in my footsteps?
I thought you were preparing to make me the guild master, guild mistress.
What?
You've been having me run about, do all kinds of important work for the guild, and you keep talking about your bad back and how much work there is. I thought...
Celis trailed off as Tekshaya gave her an incredulous look. The old Drake shook her head.
Guildmaster, you thought I was grooming you to replace me?
She barked a laugh and pointed her inky quill at Celis like a dagger. Tekshaya grinned, her teeth inky in one spot.
You can have my place when I'm dead, Celis, and not a moment before. I just wanted you to take some responsibility and start leveling up again.
But...
Celis felt like Tekshaya had kicked the rug out from under her. The old Drake cackled.
I'll give you a small raise, assuming you're not too busy running around in armor.
But you... I worked so hard, and you...
Celis spluttered. Tekshaya shook her head.
You're not having my job. Too much good fortune is bad for your character anyways.
I hate you. I worked so hard, and for what? I am not working overtime again.
Celis raged as she turned and stomped away from the desk. She had to come back for the parchment. Tekshaya nearly laughed her tail off. but she stopped Celis as the young drake stormed for the door.
It was the smart idea to keep it, Celis.
Celis turned. The young drake woman smiled at Tekshaya, her anger forgotten.
I know, and I couldn't just give it away. After all, Uncle Sel gave it to me.
Tekshaya sighed.
He did at that.
The door closed. Tekshaya watched Celis hurry down the street through the window and laughed before snorting.
Guild mistress. Ha! Not this year.
Then she reached under her desk and produced something round and soft to nibble on while she worked. It was a cookie. It wasn't over. Celis sat at a table in the Wandering Inn, talking animatedly with Jellicoe. She was no shopkeeper, but she had a certain degree of charm, and she could talk shop with any adventurer under the sun.
I'm just asking for a reasonable percentage of whatever profits you make. With this armor, you can literally walk through some traps unharmed, and the flame enchantment will protect you from all kinds of effects. For a sylphid, you'd practically be invulnerable, wouldn't you?
True. But we haven't tested the magnitude of the enchantments. 40% is high. Hell, 30% is high. We're doing all the work.
And I have a legendary artifact. With it on, you might be a named adventurer, Jellicoe. Think of that. If you don't want it, I could talk to your laws.
The Selfid was thinking, Celis could tell. Jellicoe leaned back to whisper to Seaborn, and someone passed by their table.
Another round?
Aaron lifted a mug, smiling. Celis smiled, too. She had barely had time to talk with Aaron over these last few days. But that was the thing, wasn't it? Aaron had her busy life to lead. She was always getting into trouble or finding something weird. And for once, Celis could relate.
I'll have a fruit drink, Aaron. No more alcohol. But can I have another kebab?
Coming right up. Hey, did you know I didn't make this for once? Ishkur's really good at searing the meat. As good as I am with my advanced cooking skill.
Aaron left and returned with some hot skewers of pork and chicken. Celis gobbled one down happily as Jellicoe looked resigned. She had her on the ropes. Celis would be content with 35%, actually. It was just a matter of getting the Selfid to agree. Celis paused as she chewed and swallowed. Her armor was going to be huge, especially if Jellicoe's team found something. But there was something she had to do as well tonight. It had to be tonight. She'd talked with Zavara, and it had to be tonight. Zell's remains would be transported through to Palace tomorrow with a huge honor guard, so...
Aaron, I need a big favor. Oh?
The innkeeper looked intrigued. Celis scooted her chair back to whisper in her ear.
I need you to pull a few strings to get some people to help me. Here's what I'll need.
Later that night, two guardsmen stood in one corner of Lyskor as the rain fell unceasingly. They were on duty. It was customary for the watch to post a guard here, regardless of weather or circumstance. The graveyards of all major cities were well tended, and the remains were disposed of in such a way that the undead couldn't rise. But you could never be too certain. It was wet. One of the guardsmen shifted and yawned. He raised his voice and spoke above the patter of rain to his companion.
Say, Kilp, old buddy, how much trouble would we be in if we were caught doing this?
The Antinium standing next to him paused. Rain dripped off his mandibles as he opened them to reply.
By saying we, are you referring to you and I as senior guardsmen, the four of us present in the graveyard, or the entire group, including Watch Captain Zavara and Miss Solstice?
Relk paused.
Any of us.
I believe in our case we would both be fired, or forced to resign instantly, be court-martialed, perhaps imprisoned, and potentially be executed.
Right. I was just curious.
Indeed.
They turned their attention back to watching. Not watching for intruders, but rather watching for anyone who might catch the two intruders already in the graveyard. They were holding shovels. One of them whispered to the other.
Oh, can you hurry up?
I am trying. This will be easier if you would let me use an undead rather than do it myself.
Pisces straightened, mopping dirt, sweat, and rain from his forehead. Celis glared at him.
What? And get murdered for desecrating the graveyard more than we already are?
I think this is a treasonous offense either way. The coffin is just a few more feet.
You sure?
It has bones in it. Of course I'm sure.
Pisces was irate. He hadn't signed up for manual labor, as he'd pointed out all night, but Celis had trusted no one else. Ironically, the necromancer was her only expert in this field. Digging up a grave. Not just any grave, either. Celis shuddered. She pointed at Pisces.
Don't you dare steal so much as a bone from this graveyard! I mean it, Pisces!
I wouldn't dare.
He sounded sincere, so Celis relaxed. Pisces grunted as he hopped back in the hole he'd dug.
Besides, all the bones are disposed of in such a way that they can't be used easily. Warded coffins, silver dust. It really is inconvenient. Or so I've heard.
Please stop talking. You're standing over his grave.
Celis closed her eyes tightly. She clutched the urn to her chest as Pisces kept digging. She heard him pause.
Ah, here we are.
Celis looked down. Pisces clambered out of the hole he'd dug and eyed the gravestone in front of the hole. It was a marvelous tombstone, a grand thing that looked a lot better in the daylight. The name of the owner was emblazoned on it, a name every Drake child knew, a name from history. General Saris.
The coffin is right there. I presume you don't want to open it. It's probably loaded with enough ward spells to destroy half this graveyard if I manage to break through it at all.
Celis shuddered.
No, it's fine. It just needs to be next to the coffin. Here, give me a moment.
Pisces walked back. He stared at Celis as she opened the urn. In the pouring rain, Celis hesitated over the hole. A perverse part of her thought it would be so funny if she tripped and fell in. Then she stared at the urn. It was so small, too small, and try as she might, Celis couldn't find enough sadness in her heart. It was still there, but she'd done so much mourning that it was smaller. Truly, and this moment didn't strike her as sad. She held the urn over the grave and said a few words that were lost to the rain. Perhaps Pisces heard them. Perhaps not. The rain was loud, but then again, he could read lips. Celis poured the urn's contents into the hole in the ground. The ash fell, a brief cloud settling into the grave. Celis stood there for a minute, and then turned to Pisces.
Okay, let's cover it all back up. Hand me a shovel.
The two got to work piling the wet, heavy dirt back into the grave and tamping it down. Pisces even levitated the plaque back into place, adding the uprooted turf so it looked like no one had ever tampered with the grave. The two stepped back, and there was a moment where they looked at each other. Pisces cleared his throat.
Turnscale. Not a word I'm familiar with.
Celis jumped. She glanced at Pisces and he shrugged. Celis hesitated and turned away.
That's probably because it's not a word you'd find in any Drake book.
He nodded, flicking wet hair out of his eyes.
You're most likely correct. But I can guess the meaning.
Yeah, it's fairly obvious.
From the context of what you've done, I can only infer one conclusion, Celis. Am I right in thinking?
Celis looked at Pisces. He fell silent.
Yes.
The necromancer looked startled.
Truly? I can understand General Shivertail, but was Ceres?
The Drake receptionist hesitated.
No one knew. He died long ago, and Uncle never talked about it. But I think he and Uncle were... He wouldn't have written that if it hadn't been true.
Zell Shivertail's will. The words that had been taboo, unutterable, unthinkable, they came to Celis unbidden. Bury me with my love. A simple request, nothing more. She had honored it as best she could. Celis turned away. Pisces stared at the grave.
Could you imagine?
What?
If it were true, think of what it would mean for history.
It was true. No one talked about it.
Celis stared at the grave. It felt good. She'd just dug up a grave, in a sense, despoiled the grave of Lyskor's greatest hero, General Saris. If Embria had known about this, she would have beheaded Celis and Pisces in an instant, or stabbed them. She did use a spear, but Celis only felt good. It was what Zell had wanted, and she thought it was what Saris would have wanted. She lingered over the grave as Pisces walked back towards the entrance of the graveyard where Relk and Kilbukich were waiting. Celis stared at the grave. There was no grave for Zell. No marker of where he had been truly buried. But she thought he might have liked it that way. He didn't like standing out in the end. He'd done it out of duty. And now he was gone. Celis rubbed at her eyes, but found nothing to irritate them but grave dirt. It truly was the end. She bowed her head and spoke one last time.
Goodbye, Uncle. Rest well.
Above, the rain kept falling. It should have stopped. There should have been a moment of peace, perhaps a brief ray of sunlight or something else. But there was nothing. Celis turned and trudged away. She looked back only once. She wondered what had been, what might have been, and for an instant, Celis imagined a tall general. Proud and commanding, laughing with Zell Shivertail over a cup in the corner of an inn. For a moment, Celis could see it. Then it was gone. Celis left the graveyard, empty urn in hand. She had to come back 15 minutes later to find the lid. Here's how it finished. That night, Celis stayed up late, taking care to wash all the dirt off her scales in a tepid bath of rainwater and soap. Then she sat in her small apartment and made a small fire, though the rainy spring night didn't really call for it. She let the fire burn hotly for a long while, breaking up the decaying logs and embers until it was burning low, and then extinguished it. Then Celis waited some more until the embers were out. She gathered a dustpan and broom and began collecting what was in her fireplace. She got a good helping, not too much, and sifted through it to remove any telltale debris. At last, Celis poured the hot ash and dust into the urn and then set it carefully on her dresser, wiping the rim so it looked polished and untouched. Celis stared at it for a second and then shook her head.
Have fun burying that with a big ceremony.
She turned, blew out the candle on her bed, and lay down. She was so tired. Celis hadn't ever been more exhausted in her life, not even after fighting for her life against the undead. She had worn herself down, but she felt good, relaxed. Almost at once, Celis drifted off to sleep.
Receptionist, level 19! Heiress, level 6. Skill, Legacy Whispers, Heart Flame set, obtained.
In the night, the rain poured down. Slowly, the Drake sat back up in her bed, eyes wide. She heard thunder and then words. There was no voice that spoke them, no tongue to shape them. They appeared in her head, searing, unforgettable. To find the Helm of Fire, look to Death's ire. that village without rest where the putrid one met his death. They were there, and then only a memory. But what a memory! Celis sat in bed, clutching her covers to her chest, heart pounding wildly. She looked around.
Ancestors!
And then she went back to sleep.